Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We believe you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God bless you.
Chapter 11, and let's read 28 and 29. Yes. Play it nicely. Take us to heaven. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Are we there? Are you there? All right. The Bible says, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Hallelujah. Is there anybody who has a different version who can read it for us? There's no sound on that mic. Anymore. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. Is there sound now? Still no sound. Mambanjo was just using it to sing. It had sound now. Okay, fix that one in the meanwhile because it's going to give us feedback.
2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation?
Hallelujah. What version is that?
The New King James.
The New King James. Please read it for me one more time.
Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches.
My deep concern for all the churches. Uh-huh.
Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation?
Hallelujah. Is there anyone else who has another version who can read it for us? Quickly.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 28. Mm-hmm. And not to mention other things, every day I'm under the pressure of my concern for all the churches.
I'm under the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Uh-huh.
When someone is weak, then I feel weak too. When someone is led into sin, I am filled with distress.
When somebody feels weak, huh?
I am weak too.
I'm weak too. And the other part?
When someone is led into sin, I am filled with distress.
When somebody is led into sin, I'm filled with distress, discomfort. Hallelujah. Other versions say anger. Amen. What version is that? Sorry? Good news. Amen and amen. So, Pastor, why are we reading this scripture? As someone who is involved in the work of God, you are in the Bible study groups, you are in the ministries, you are a leader, you are an assistant, you are somebody who's serving God by taking care of His people, by loving His people. You have to do this work with emotions. You cannot be emotionally detached from God's work. You cannot be emotionally detached from God's people. Are you here? Tell a neighbor, why is your face saying you are not here? Your mouth is saying you are here, your face is saying you are not here. Or you don't want to ask your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, correct your face, correct your face. It's disturbing my pastor. Hallelujah. Do you love God? Do you want to serve God? Yeah. So, you cannot be emotionally detached. You cannot do this work without emotions. One time, when Jesus was going to pray for Lazarus, the Bible says he cried, he wept. He was emotionally invested in God's work, in God's people. It's extremely important. You cannot be a good Bible study group leader. You cannot be a good ministry leader. You cannot be a good assistant in the work of God if you are not emotionally invested. Many people who serve God are detached emotionally. They're invested emotionally to the work of God. In other words, when people are not here, you don't. Paul said he feels it. He said he's always concerned. Some version says he's always worried about the church. Who is the church? It's God's people. He says, when they become weak, I feel their weakness. I feel it. These are people who are not his relatives, but he's connected to them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He loves them. He cares about them. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have to be emotionally invested. It's important. Amen. Otherwise, you can't love God's people the way he expects you to love them. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, by this we know love, that he gave his life for the brethren. How can you give your life for someone who you are not emotionally invested to? It's impossible. Hallelujah. When you are driving on the road and you see an accident, you say, oh, shame, and you continue driving. You don't stop. Why? You don't know. You're not invested emotionally to that person. But if it was a family member, you stop your car. You run. You scream. You make havoc. You scream for help. Why? Because it's someone you are emotionally invested in. So, and a lot of things that I say, they are spiritual things. It's not something you just, you know, mind power, then I'm going to do it. It is by investing time with the Lord. And as you spend more time with God and you fall deeper in love with him, you will tend to love his people also. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are not spiritual, you cannot die for God's people. Because in the same scripture it says that we also have to lay our lives for the brethren. You cannot lay your life for someone that you are not concerned about, that you do not love. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus, when he saw the people, the Bible said he had compassion on them. If you are not emotionally invested, you cannot have compassion on the people. Are you following what I'm saying? So it is something that, as those of us who are serving God and working for God and doing the work of God, is something that we have to work on to ensure that emotionally we are committed to God and we are committed to his work, or we are committed to his people. Are you following me, somebody? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you come to church and you do the work of God, don't leave your emotions at home. Hallelujah. Make sure that you bring them along to the house of God. Amen. So the last time we spoke, I was teaching you about the work of the ministry, and I taught you about that acronym, PVCI, or PVTI, which is prayer, visitation, counseling or teaching, and interacting with God's people. Hallelujah. It is an important work that we have to do as children of the living God. Amen and amen. I cannot overemphasize enough how much prayer is important for the work of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You gotta pray for the people. If you don't pray for your people, then you are doing the work with your own strength. And you'll be frustrated. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have to pray. You have a ministry? Pray for the people. You have a Bible study group? Pray for the people. There's a video that Sandile did last week where I was explaining how I was praying for the church. Say, I'm praying for you. So you also must pray for the people that God has put under your care. It's highly important. And I told you that as a ministry leader, a Bible study group leader, you must at least pray 1 hour a day. At least. And within your prayer time, you have to invest some of that time for the people that God has put under your care. Are you following me? Yeah. Recently, I found out something that happened to one of the church members. And I was so happy. And today, I was reminded by the Lord, when the year began, I told myself that I want to spend time praying for this particular individual so that they can overcome a particular challenge that is in their life. And I started praying. Early in the year, I remember I invested some time praying for that person. So I'd even forgotten. And the Lord reminded me today. And the person has overcome a particular challenge they are facing in their lives. We have to pray. We have to pray. We have to pray. We cannot do this work with our own strength and our own power. God's people need you to pray for them. Hallelujah. Yeah. There are some others also that I'm praying for, that I can see that what they are going through, they need supernatural help from God. I'm just praying for them in my personal time. Yeah. I remember when I was praying 2 days ago, I was praying, then when I had about 30 minutes to an hour left in my prayer time, I just said, God, now I just want, because every now and then people say to me, Pastor, pray for me, Pastor, pray for me. So I just dedicated about 30 minutes to an hour. I can't remember how long now. Just trying to remember all the people who have asked me to pray for them and just coming before the throne of God and mentioning their issues before God. Hallelujah. So during that time, I just started mentioning some names who I know are going through certain situations. And I was asking God that, Lord, pull them out. Stretch out your hand. You have to pray. If you don't pray, you're going to be using your own strength and you will become tired and you'll become frustrated. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, your face was coming right, but just maintain it during the service. It was coming right. It was coming right. So keep it up. Hallelujah. I don't want it to go back down to where it was. Amen. Are you following me? Did I come to church today? All right. Hallelujah. Look, these Tuesday services, I'm busy training you and preparing you for the work that you have engaged in. It's an important work, and I don't want us to fail in it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? These Bible study groups are going to work extremely well. Last week, when we were busy working here, and during the turnaround hour, we were praying a particular prayer topic. And as I was praying, the Lord impressed in my spirit that these Bible study groups are going to work. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's why I'm spending a lot of time, taking my good time, to ensure that I train you, I build you, and I prepare you for things that are going to come your way. So that when they come, you'll know how to navigate. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What was I saying before I said that? So you have to pray for the people. Hallelujah. All right, put your hands together for Jesus. Visit them. Counsel them, interact with them. And you cannot do this if you are not emotionally invested in their lives. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right, so tonight, I want to show you why ministry is tough work. Hallelujah. Ministry is tough work. When I say ministry, when you are doing Bible study groups, it's ministry. It's the work of the ministry. It's the work of God. Okay? When you are doing ministries, you are leading, you are assisting, you are involved in the church, you are part of the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. So ministry is work because it consumes a large portion of your time. By the way, I'm still teaching from Bishop Doug's books. I'm teaching from the lay people and the ministry. Hallelujah. It consumes a large portion of your time. Ministry. The work of the ministry, the work of leading Bible study groups, ministry, you lead a ministry, you're an assistant, you're involved in that work. It takes a large portion of your time. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. If this work of God is not taking a lot of your time, then you are not working for God. Yeah. If it's not taking your time, you haven't started. Eesh. I mean, how much time in a day do you spend at work, for example? You realize that you spend a lot of time at work. Sometimes you spend more time at work than you do with your family. True or not true? So it's work because it takes a lot of your time. So also, if you will be working for God, it is also bound to take your time. If you are going to be selfish with your time, then you are not going to be very successful in the work of God. It will demand your time. It will do what? Demand your time. If you are not ready to give up your time, you are not ready to serve God. Because me, I see time as life. That's what I see time as. I'll never forget one day where my father was working. He got a present from his workplace for 30 years of service. And they bought him a little watch like this. I said, what? 30 years of your life that you've dedicated to this place. And they give you a little watch like that. Hey! I still don't feel like I'm in church. Can we rise to our feet? Just speak in tongues for 1 minute. Speak in tongues. I don't feel connected to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we break all barriers. Be akum anga egeme. Burazo e barba bufos ezerebebes. Jubal babazu vikwazeta rebazu vadus. Jabaraba pose ker kebebesio. Irakata peria kata terebes. Jebebe pia prabatu vikata pel kato. Rabababatu ker kebebesio sai. E kaparabaso serebe kosesu. Badovose ambala kadosia. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the church will say, amen. All right, let's try it again. You may be seated. How long is 30 years? It's long, isn't it? Yeah. Someone who's 30 is an adult now. And my father dedicated 30 years working for the government. And they gave him a little watch. Hey! Now I think they must give you like a house or buy you like a car. And not like a small car, like a big car. 30 years! Hey! Or they must pay all your debts or pay off your bond or something. Not a small anyana watch like this. Hallelujah. Time is a large portion of your life. You know, many years ago, all over the world, we were happy when America got its first black president. Do you remember? Barack Obama. Hallelujah. When you have time, just go check him when he started out. Look at his face, look at his, you know, his hair and everything. And he spent there, I think, how many years did they spend? I think about 8 years, 2 terms. And then go check him 8 years later and look at his hair and look at his, you see a big change. Hallelujah. It's your life. The time that you spent doing the work of God, going to work, going to school, is your life. So, if you are selfish with your time, you are selfish with your life. And when you give your time to something else, you are giving your life to something else. So, for you to work of God, to work for God, you have to offer your time also. And that offering of your time is an offering of your life to God. And the results will show. And we will see the results with the people that you lead. Today being Tuesday, in the turnaround hour, we are asking God for the Holy Ghost on Tuesdays. And specifically for the last couple of weeks, I've been leading them to pray on this particular line. When you read Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19 to 22, Paul talks first about the works of the flesh, and then afterwards he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And I was explaining to them that every environment, and here specifically we are talking about the church, people either lean towards the work of the flesh or they lean towards the fruits of the Spirit. And in a church, it should be an environment where the majority of the people are more leaning towards the fruit of the Spirit, where their lives are manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and those types of things. And faith. Hallelujah. So we were praying and interceding for the church that there will everyone in this ministry, in this church, will tend to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So if the church, majority of the people tend to manifest the works of the flesh, hey, the church is not a good church. It's a sign that the Holy Ghost is not in that church. When the people, remember when I was teaching about that, all those things. Do you remember? When the people are, most of the people in the church are doing the things of the flesh, something is wrong with the church. Hallelujah. Yeah, so when you invest your time, spending time with your people, praying for them, visiting them, teaching them, counseling. During when we were working here, when was it? Yesterday. I had a little interaction with Usihle there. I was just sitting with him. And I started talking to him about the work that he's doing in interpreting. And I began to show him a couple of things. And there were some teachings that, you know, I wanted him to go back and investigate certain Zulu ways to express certain things that I want to say. And I was also telling him that whether a person during a service is listening to me or is listening to you, if they are listening to you, they must hear and receive and understand the way that I'm expressing. And so I began to tell him certain things and began to show him certain things. By the time we finished, he was like, So he's hearing, he's listening. And he said, yes, Pastor, yes, I see, Pastor. Ngiyakuthembisa, Pastor, ngiyakuthembisa. That I'm going, you know him. Hallelujah. Just that little interaction. That interaction. It did something. So, but you have to invest your time to be able to have that interaction. The work of God requires your time. Requires your time. And I've been through it all. I started serving God when I was a student. Doing assignments, exams, tests, test weeks, everything while I was serving God. Then there was a time in my life where I was a student and working at the same time. And my time was dedicated to God. Hallelujah. So throughout the phases, I still give my time to my God. So you too, you have to give your time. Always give your time. Always give your time. And it will show, the results will show when you commit your time to the work. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So, less time you commit, you are not really serving God. Stingy with your time, in you spending time with God, and in you spending time with the people, with the sheep, you haven't started serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Push your neighbor, say, dedicate time. Tell your neighbor, give your time, give your time. Hallelujah. Let's read a scripture. Come with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, 1-4. Yeah, something has shifted. Now I can feel you. Now you are here. Matthew 8, verse 14. Please read it for me.
Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them.
Amen. Hey! Jesus was moving with the disciples for 3 years. 3 years. Isn't it surprising that Peter had a family? Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. What about John? What about all the other 12? Did they have children? Huh? Did they have mothers-in-laws? Did they have... We know absolutely almost nothing about them. The focus, the highlight of their lives is how they were following Jesus. Sometimes when you serve God, it's almost as though you don't have a family. Almost as though you don't have children. You are almost like that guy, Kanigimang, that one who blessed Abraham and gave him a holy communion. Huh? Melchizedek. No father, no mother. We know nothing about him. But he appears, is the priest of God. When did you become a priest? Who's your father? Where were you born? Which country are you coming from? So, from a heavenly perspective, heaven focuses on your service to God. Pastor, what are you saying? I must neglect my family. No, don't neglect them. But I'm telling you, you have to so dedicate your time, it seems as though you don't have a family. It seems as though you don't have children. It seems as though you are not married. The amens. Hallelujah. Yeah. For me and my family, that is my wife and my little daughter. If you notice, we are always here. Haven't you noticed? It is easier for me because my family are as invested in this thing as I am. I used to have a church member. The person loved God and was starting to serve God and do the work of God and was getting closer to God. And the husband started complaining. So, we never spend time together anymore. Eish. Someone say, eish. Too much church. Yeah. My gosh. That's why you have to marry someone who's born again, who loves God, who is involved in the work of God and everything, if you want to serve God. Me and my family, we have one life. One life. One thing I've learned is that when you have more than one life, at some point, there's going to be a clash. I've seen this movie many times before where people are serving God but also have another life. Sooner or later, these lives are going to clash. And you are going to have to choose. In my short experience, unfortunately, because my church is a young church, many people have chosen the other life than they have chosen this life that God is trying to give us. Are you following me? Yeah. We were being told, I think I told the people who come to the turnaround hour on Saturdays, I think. We were told that in the bread of life, they were being asked, Mambanja was asking them, said, since you dedicate your time here every Thursday, what do you want to see God doing? I mean, what do you want to see? Other people are watching television, doing whatever, and you sacrifice your time to come here. So what do you want to experience? And so everybody was talking, and they also asked that little 8-year-old there, And the 8-year-old said, me, I don't want this Bible study to die. To die. 8-year-old. How can the person speak something like that? It's because they come from an environment that is dedicated to God. When we are in the car, when we are driving, when my wife and I are talking and she's at the back, all she's hearing is the church this, the church this. Then we want to do this, we want to do this. That's her life. Because we don't have this life and that life and that life and this life. We are dedicated to this thing. We have committed to this thing. So if you want to really be fruitful in this serving of God, then you have to understand that the minute you say that, like here they said, and Peter's mother-in-law said, you are married. We didn't know you are married. Because you are so always dedicated to the things of God. Am I getting through? Are you following? Are you understanding? So, I'm here to try and convince you that you have to give your time. You must. If you want to serve God. Hallelujah. Push your neighbor, say, give your time. Amen. Ministry work, number two. Ministry work expends energy and money. Ministry work expends, or let me rather say, it will require your energy and your money. Energy and money. Hallelujah. Yeah. Especially for those of you who are working, who are at school, and who are doing all kinds of things. You just have to get used to being tired. You and being tired, you have to marry. Just marry each other and just be one and be happy. Hallelujah. That's all. Don't fight. I'm tired. And you're always fighting. Just understand that this thing wants your energy. Amen. So just yield. Amen. To the feeling of always being tired. Amen. Don't complain. Embrace it. Amen. And say that I'm tired for Jesus. Amen. Push your neighbor, say, I'm tired for Jesus. Someone say, I love being tired for Jesus. Your mouth is saying it, but your face is not saying it. So, say, I love being tired for Jesus. I would rather be tired for Jesus than for other things. I'm watching you carefully, eh? I'd rather be tired for Jesus than other things. Yeah. Embrace it. Marry it. Yeah, be happy. Not only these people are saying amen. I don't hear you in the middle and the back. It's getting there, but it's not there yet. Yeah. Uh-huh. Listen, the more you fight it, the more useless you become in God's eyes. In God's eyes. God can't do anything with you. Every time you say, I'm tired. We spoke a lot about this in the retreat, if you remember. Yeah. God cannot use you if you are forever complaining about being tired. And tiredness is always keeping you away. Just embrace it. It's normal. If you work, you'll be tired. It's normal. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. When we went to the retreat, was I not preaching for you powerfully? If I told you how I was feeling before going to that retreat, it was 5-2 canceled. 5-2. Only Mom Ruthie knows. That Thursday, did you go on a Thursday? I had to go to the doctor on Thursday. And I told the doctor, I said, I'm preaching for the next 3 days. Do something. It will require your energy, my friend. Your energy. Your energy. And also your money. Huh? Is it Nigerians who say money? Aha. Most of this building, it has come with a financial delay to my family. Nothing can progress unless you are dedicated and committed. Yeah. Up to a point, I made a decision because a lot of the things we built here, especially when it came to the roof, the roof really challenged us. For us to complete it, because most of the things, somehow, our calculations are always wrong. Always. I was telling some people, when I spoke about the floors, we spoke about 8,500. Ah! It was so wrong, it's not even funny. Too wrong. Just the concrete alone cost us 10,300 rand. And we are not done. We still need to buy that little portion left. Just the concrete alone. The cement, we spoke about 30 bags. We are currently sitting on 53 bags of cement that has been used here. And we still need to finish that portion. and the door. And Zamile was saying, stage, I said, come down, my brother, come down. Come down. Hallelujah. Hey. So every calculation we've ever done, no matter how much I calculate it, no matter how much I try to think of everything, somehow it always is more. Is that drawing? Look at someone. Hallelujah. Hey. So in the beginning, what we were doing, when I was standing here, I would look at the church bank account and realize that it's depleted. But the roof is about halfway. And service is coming on Sunday. I'll phone Mom Ruth and say, hey, good morning. And I say, the roof is halfway and the church money is finished. And we still need this portion to finish it. And we'll talk and we'll take from our personal funds and we'll finish off. Hey. My gosh. So, in whatever capacity you are serving God, it will take you to use your energy and it will take you to use your money also. If you want it to work. If you want it to work. Hallelujah. I don't know in which ways. When I was still in my old church, I was a ministry leader and I was a student. All my extra, anything that my parents would give me would be petrol. I'll be fetching people for my ministry. And those guys that I used to lead used to love God. We used to sometimes finish at 10, sometimes finish at 11. We'll just be led by the Spirit. When we finish, I'll put them in the car. God dropped each and every one of them in the gate. One by one. One by one. Not asking 1 cent from them. As a student. As a student. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
It will take you, if you want it to work, to sacrifice a lot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And I don't mean that, you know, you must take your child's school fees and put it in. No, listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to your own things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But for you to do this work, it needs you also that it's going to hit your pocket here and there. It's part of it if you want it to work. And you mustn't complain. So you're doing it for God. Amen. So, hey, this church, ever since my money. Ah. Calm down, my friend. You said you want to serve God, isn't it? Amen. This is some of the price that comes with it. Some of the price that comes with it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. It's the price. So you have to be ready for it. You'll see that as you serve, as you are going deeper, you'll see that it will take your energy and more of your energy. And you'll see that it will also, your pocket, you'll see that you need to push there, push there. What are you going to do when in your Bible study group you see that someone there is really needing this or needing that? Huh? When you are reading the book of James in chapter 2, didn't you see anything about that? Faith without action is what? Don't just read it and then pass and just don't apply. When you see needs, when you see this and that, you can't just say, "Ach Hashem, kose amuzalong, au Jesu, au nkosi Shem." Something must be done. Push your neighbor, say, "Something must be done." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. It's ministry work. I'm preparing you for it. Even though maybe you may not be there yet, but sooner or later, as you keep doing this work, you will see that it starts eating into your pocket a little bit. And so also, you also now have to be a disciplined person. You can't be now just living like the people of the world. You can't. Otherwise, when God requires you to do something, you will not do it. Because you live like a person from the world. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Even if you can afford a 3,000 rand shoe, just buy the cheaper one. And be happy. Only two people are saying amen. So, hey, this church. You want the expensive one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Just be normal. Don't be. In our church, as we are doing everything we are doing, I've heard of pastors who are borrowing money from church members, this, that. Have we ever come to borrow anything from you? Anything? Nothing. Hallelujah. Everything we try to do responsibly. And also for us to be able to do those things responsibly, we also have to live responsibly. Hallelujah. Yeah. So if you want your ministry, your Bible study group to work, you have to live responsibly so that you can be available to serve God even with your money.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still here? You've gone home.
Amen.
Yeah. There are many examples I want to make, but I don't want anybody to feel like I'm on their case. But I want you to understand. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Yeah. You have to be committed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Sandile was telling me the other day that he wants to have a Bible study group on Monday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, and on Friday. And I said, good shot. Move, brother. And so, besides the two that he has begun, we are starting one now. They started praying this week in Mamelodi. Hallelujah. It's going to come with a financial knock because we don't give money for petrol. We don't give money for petrol. Hey! And for him to be able to do it, he's going to have to sacrifice certain things. But for the work to happen, it requires your energy and it requires your money. And we have to push it until it can sustain itself. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So in the beginning, it takes a lot of sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. Ask your neighbor, what are you sacrificing for God? What are you sacrificing? Are you sacrificing any energy? Any energy? Are you doing any energy for God? Are you sacrificing any funds, any money? Huh. You just come sit down and go home. Where patata. Someone say, help me, Jesus. How much time do I still have? It's almost time up. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you like my message?
Amen.
So I'm not shouting. I'm not anything. I'm training. At school, when you have been trained there, are you shouting and screaming? You are just focusing and learning. And you must apply those things so that you can succeed in life, okay? So this one is for you to succeed in the work that you are doing for God. Glory be to God. Ministry work is repetitive and regular. There's a word that I like to use that is monotonous. It is repetitive and regular. What that means is that you are doing the same things over and over and over again. Week after week, month after month, year after year. It's just we're preaching every Tuesday, preaching every Sunday, have a retreat, have this, have this. But these things are repetitive. Hallelujah. Most work is like that. Are you following me? Those of you who are working, when you go to work, aren't you doing the same thing every day? The same thing. And it's not finishing. One brother once said to me, one of my colleagues, was like, I was working and everything and whatever. And he said to me, X-Man, he used to call me X-Man. X-Man, X-Man. The work never finishes. The work never finishes. Otherwise, he said, calm down, relax. The work never finishes. If you go, when you come back, you will find it. It doesn't finish. Hallelujah. Yeah. The thing is always the same. You wake up, you go to work, you're doing the same thing. So the work of God is similar. You do the same thing. Every Thursday, Bible study groups, same thing. Same thing. It's work. It's work. So you have to be careful because you can become familiar with it. You can become bored. That's why today I had to correct certain things because as I watch you, as the way you are coming to church, I said, this footstep, this style of walking is a sign. Is a sign that we have to deal with. Hallelujah. If you are careful, if you are not careful, you'll suddenly feel bored, fatigued, have no longer any desire anymore for the work of God because it's the same thing over and over and over again. One of the things that cures that feeling of doing the same thing and being bored with it is growth. These ministry, these Bible study groups that you are doing and ministries that you are doing, the cure for the feeling of repetitive work and monotonous work. Monotonous is like it's a boring work because it's the same thing over and over again. The cure for that thing is growth. Growth. If your Bible study doesn't grow, over time it will be boring. So the cure is growth. One of the reasons why, I haven't appointed pastors yet and everything, It is my dream. I desire that some of you will be pastors. That when people come and greet you and say, "Pastor, so, so, and so, men of God, women of God." It's because we can't all be just fighting for this pulpit. You're not doing anything in church. You are just one person once told me that he went to his pastor and he said, "Pastor, I'm going to the pulpit and I'm clanch. I'm going to go to one guy." That's what happens when you just call people pastor, and they're not doing anything. But now imagine if, for example, the Bible study group in Youth View begins to grow and it multiplies, and we have another one in Youth View and another one, and the Rock of Salvation grows and it multiplies, and then the same person is now leading about 10 Bible study groups. And so now the person's job is to encourage the leader and the assistants to make sure that the Bible study groups are working. You see, it's still the same work, but now it has evolved. Where now you are not every day going to stand there and sitting down, but now you are shepherding the leaders of the Bible study groups. And now instead of have only Bible study group leaders, now we have overseers of Bible study groups. You see that the same monotonous work, because there's growth now, it produces something else that is a bit more exciting. And over time now we can call you, okay, a pastor, because now you are overseeing a number of Bible study group and you are shepherding leaders. And you are making sure that it's working. And you are pushing it and say, how many people from this area are coming to church and whatever. You are working. You are not just sitting here and you are looking at me and saying, but what pastor is preaching? I had a revelation yesterday. If you can just borrow me the pulpit. You think like that because you are just sitting down. But you can, the work that you are currently doing of the Bible study group, if it grows, it can become exciting. It can be lively. You can be leading a number of them. Imagine now over time that we say, okay, here we've got 20 Bible study groups. We've got 15 here. We've got, okay, we are taking 5 and we are converting them into a church. Then suddenly this Bible study group now has become a church. It has evolved to become a church. So the more that the thing grows, the more exciting it becomes. Amen. The only cure from the monotonous work, from the repetitive work, is when you are achieving and overcoming and you are having success. It brings excitement. It brings life. But if we are not overcoming the challenges that are facing you as a leader in your ministry, in your Bible study group, then over time, it starts beating you up. It feels heavy. It feels boring now. You start complaining. Oh God, why did you call me? Oh, why me, Father? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say to you. So, for it to not become familiar and boring, you overcome that by success, making it work, overcoming the challenges that face you. How can I make this thing that has 5 people to have 10 people? How can I have a Bible study group? How can I have 3 Bible study groups? How can I raise leaders in the Bible study group that even while I'm not there, the Bible study group is working? You see, as you are growing like that, that's where the excitement comes. And as you overcome certain things, and you overcome these challenges, it brings certain joy, certain fulfillment. Then you'll see that you enjoy serving God. It fulfills you to serve God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. These Bible study groups, I was just thinking of them now. the first soul, well, from since the retreat that we have won through the Bible study groups was Nkateko's mother. And I asked myself that, had we not started these Bible study groups, was she going to come to church? Was she going to be born again today? And then we had another soul that we won on Sunday, directly from a Bible study group. Had we not started that Bible study group, I remember saying to you guys, as I look at the Rose of Sharon, I said, what a waste. I don't know if you remember me saying that. I said, what a waste. Look at the people in this Bible study group. They're just coming to sit together and just enjoying. I mean, these are Bible study groups that are sitting here. And so the Holy Spirit said, my friend, take this one, put here, take this one too. I said, oh, Holy Ghost, I will do it. And so we did it. Now souls are being won. Souls are being won. Have we not moved out? Have we not stepped out? At least these two that I'm mentioning would not be born again today. So the joy, the excitement, the strength to keep going and moving comes as you keep growing and as you keep overcoming the challenges that come with serving God. Amen. Are these amens? I feel like I'm the only one in this church. Are you understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? So, if you are not going to be committed to overcome the challenges of growing your Bible study group, having a problem of space, like now there's too many people. Like, one of the things that moved me, it's like on Sunday, the people were just sitting here and just maybe up to those two chairs there, the adults. That area was empty, that area was empty. And the chairs were placed like this. You see the space in between them. And I said, my God. It means that the people in this church, they are only just this area only. Look at the work we still have to do. We have to fill that area and fill that area. So now we call this first floor, second floor, third floor. So we are only in the first floor only. Now you see, now I have energy. Now I was like, Lord, how can we fill the second floor? How can we fill the third floor? And it makes the repetitive work, you know, to, it's like there's a challenge now. And now we have to overcome. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm challenging you to overcome the challenges.
Amen.
I'm challenging you to be more than one Bible study group.
Amen.
Ah, your amens, you know.
Amen.
I think when you came to church, you are not a soldier. I don't know what you came as today. Can I hear a proper amen, please?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm challenging you. Let's win souls. Let's win souls. Let's win souls. Let's win souls. Let's step out. Take your people in the Bible study group. Go house to house. We have a Bible study group. We are inviting you. The soul that we won led to Christ on Sunday, when we went to visit the Light of the World Bible study group, I was told that, Ntabiseng said that, I came early, Pastor, and they went out together, going house to house, inviting people to the Bible study group. And they brought them and they had a Bible study group. Powerful. And now one of those people came to church and got born again.
Amen.
So if you are not going to work, my friend, you are not prepared to work. You just model on Thursday. You are modeling to a Bible study. You don't phone anyone. You don't fetch anyone. Nothing. During the week, nothing. Just modeling freely. And you sit down. Push your neighbor and say, it cannot work like that. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
If you want it to be exciting, you've got to overcome the challenges that it presents. Ministry work is supervised work or unsupervised work. When you get home, read Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, where it talks about the ant. Hallelujah. It is supervised work, but it's also unsupervised work. The people who are more valuable are the people who can work without being supervised. The people who are less valuable are the people who always have to be reminded. Always have to be reminded. Always have to be reminded. Always have to be encouraged. That's why at work you have a person called a supervisor. The supervisor is supervising you. And at the end of the month, you must check who gets more. The one who is supervising or the one who's being supervised. Many of us have the spirit, especially in the church, where, because you see, you are not invested, you are not committed. Every time you have to be reminded. And if you remember in the retreat, I told you, that is a manifestation of laziness. Well, I'm not going to lie to you, unfortunately. Is it fortunately or unfortunately? Huh? You don't know. Whenever you always have to be encouraged, always have to be pushed, always have to be, you know, do this, do that, do that. Have you done it? Have you gone there? Have you done it? Have you done it? Have you? Have you? Have you? If you are going to have a successful Bible study group, you have to know that you have to pray for people. And you have to pray for people without having been pushed. Pray for them. Are you praying for them? You have to visit the people without you having to be told and pushed and encouraged and cajoled and forced. It must come out of you. You must want to spend time with them, change their lives, change the way that they think. Encourage them to serve God, to be more committed to God, to be more committed to the things of God. Encourage them to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. To be prayerful. Encourage them to be in the services, to be in the prayers, in the whatever the church is doing, be there. Now, if we have to always remind you, always tell you, always... This thing is work, Bazalwan. And you have to be able to do it without always being told, always being reminded. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have to work, 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 you have to work. It is work, it is work. It will take your energy, it will take your time, it will take your... It will take you to sacrifice for it to work. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I don't want you to be just modeling. On Saturday you are coming to ministry, you are just modeling. You sit down. That's if you come. And when you go, then you are... As we are busy in ministry, you are checking your watch. You are checking your... Even as I'm praying, you are want to... As I'm talking now, you are checking your watch. Hey! You're checking your watch all the time. Checking your watch all the time. You're in a hurry to go somewhere. Or in a hurry to... The Bible study group. You are the leader. You haven't phoned anybody. Haven't done any work. You're an assistant. You're an assistant and we have to phone you. Are you coming today? Ah! What a useless assistant. You haven't phoned anybody. You haven't encouraged anybody. But you're an assistant. What are you assisting? What are you assisting? What are you assisting if you are not doing anything? An assistant must be a person that if for one reason or the other the leader cannot be there, we have full confidence that the thing will continue because you are there as the assistant. It will work. It will continue moving forward. Oh, here you are, Mr. Assistant, Miss Assistant. You're also just coming. My pastor used to say, kama batanyana. You haven't phoned, you haven't called, you haven't encouraged, you haven't visited, you haven't nothing. How is the thing gonna work? I think you haven't realized that this is ministry work. Ministry work. Hello? Only the leader it's like they want the thing to grow. They are pushing, they are phoning, they are doing this. You are not doing nothing. It's not moving you. And we've called you an assistant. You are not even offering, so don't worry, I'm gonna phone this person. I'm gonna phone this person. Okay, I'm gonna fetch this person. There's no communication between you and the leader. That way you are talking, where you are discussing. So how can we make this thing work? Okay, let's try this. Let's also try this. And then let's do this. Nothing. How do you think it's going to grow? How do you think it's going to multiply? My friend, we have to work. Can you push your neighbor and say, neighbor, even your face, you don't look like you are ready to work. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, the Bible says his face looked like he was going to Jerusalem. I need some faces that look like they are ready to work for God. I need some amens that look like they are ready to work for God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah, be a worker. Be a worker. Don't be lazy when it comes to the work of God. Be a worker. Be a worker. I know some people, let's rise to our feet. I feel your arrows. I'm sorry. Let's rise to our feet. I used to work with this other guy. They gave him a nickname at work. Do you know what his nickname was? His nickname was YouTube. 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 That time TikTok had not yet come about. He will come in the morning, open his laptop, position it nicely. You think that, yeah, the brother has come to work. And then minimize the work and put YouTube and put earphones and be watching YouTube the whole day. And when he hears a noise, he just brings out the spreadsheet and then to check, is it the boss or whatever? If it's not the boss, minimize YouTube. Let's not become YouTube. Let's not become YouTube. That guy called YouTube. Let's not become like that guy. Let's work for God. Amen. I said, let's work for God. Let's work for God. So people stopped giving him work because every time they give him work, the work would not be finished. Or every time the work will come wrong. One day they asked him to measure a garage, you know, to find out how much material do we need for this garage and whatever. Even if I can give my daughter to calculate for me, she would have done a better job than what that guy did. Then they asked him, show us how you got these answers. And he said, I got them in my head. Ha, Mr. YouTube. But nobody told the boss. He was exposed one day. We got another project. And we were working with another company. So they told him that you have to work at that company. Ah, he got exposed. That company was complaining. You sent us a useless guy. The whole time he was just watching YouTube. When it was now time to work, he was exposed. Don't be exposed. Let's work. Let's work for God. Hallelujah. Can I see you pushing your neighbor? Say, let's work for God. Say, neighbor, wake up and let's work for God. Push your neighbor. Say, wake up, let's work for God. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. So I need you to understand that what you have engaged yourself in is work. It's work. And what are we working towards? Those people that we are winning to Christ, they must also grow. If your people don't grow, then whatever you are doing also will not grow. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want you to talk to God. I don't know what you've heard today, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit has given you a personal message. Unless your heart is as hard as a rock, but if it's not hard as a rock, the Holy Ghost has spoken to you. And I just want you to speak to Him and say, Lord, help me. I want to serve You. I want to work. Lord, I'm always tired, but give me the strength to continue serving You even when I'm tired. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this powerful word of God. We believe you are blessed. For more inquiry, please visit www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call us at 072-591-2858. May God bless you.